blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 40, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. The fear of the Lord is most clean. Forever unmoved it has stood. His judgments are perfectly true, in all things most righteous and good. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 40.
We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the same chapter this morning, Acts 2. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, we will continue where we left off this morning. We'll start with verse 14 to the end. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that God hath made this that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we may read of thy faithfulness to thy own word and to thy promise that thou hadst given unto thy servants of old, and when on the day of Pentecost thou indeed didst send forth thy Holy Spirit in the midst of them and in the midst of thy church. And Lord, thou wilt do everything that thou hast said. Not a word of thee shall fall unto the ground, except that it be fulfilled, as some in the short term, some in the long term. But everything shall come to pass, because thou art not a man that thou shouldest lie, neither the Son of Man that thou shouldest repent. And thy judgments that thou dost proclaim, thou wilt certainly bring to pass. And all the promises that thou hast promised unto the afflicted and the poor and the needy in this world, and thou wilt accomplish, though that they have to wait for them, thine own elect a day and night. O Lord, that thou may give patience then to thy own people, and hope and expectation that they may wait upon thee, and that thou wilt not forsake the work of thine own hands, but that thou wilt surely do it, and that they may be encouraged thereby also in this thy holy day. But also those who are weak, and those who have no strength, because in this day then we may commemorate and that great power that thou hast exhibited on that day of Pentecost, and when thou hast with thy Spirit in one moment converted 3,000 persons to add them unto that roll, and that will be taken in unto thee forever and forever. Lord, then thou knowest those that are without power among us, and that do say that I have no strength against all this company that cometh against me, and that have no power to raise their own soul from the dead, or to give life unto their soul, to make themselves godly, or to make themselves follow after all thy commandments. O thy servant did beseech it of thee, and that thou wouldst quicken him, and that thou wouldest make him to walk and to follow,
after all thy statutes, and thou puttest a desire in the heart of thy people, but they are not able to fulfill it. But we may see thy power also to raise the dead. And Lord, thou knowest thy own church, and when they look upon themselves, they were not able to give it to themselves. They are not able to revive it within themselves, and they are not able to give it unto their loved ones, to their spouses, to their children, to their grandchildren. Lord, then we are helpless from our side, but oh, thy power that is an almighty power, and thou dost sit on the right hand of power, and thou didst show it on that day of Pentecost, when men were in yet their rebellious state by nature, and thou didst make a willing people in the day of thy power. Oh, that thou may do so also in this day when we commemorate that sending forth of thy Holy Spirit. May it be also in the midst of us as a congregation, and that thou may show thyself, and that thou wouldst not deal with us as our many sins deserve. And thou didst also show thy love, because it was a sinful people. It was a people and that had crucified and thy dear and only begotten Son in great rebellion. And thou, from that great eternity, hast loved thy own church, and with an everlasting love, and despite all the iniquity that lives within them, and all that does come forth from them, oh, they are not able to break, and that eternal love, for thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and thou changest not, oh Lord, that thou may look upon all thy true children, and give that we also may experience, and that thou livest, and that thou still bringest forth thy counsel, and thy eternal counsel, and that thou still bringest in a church, a people from death unto life, and that thou renewest the face of the ground, and that thou with thy spirit dost breathe, and that thou goest here and there, as the wind bloweth where that it listeth. May it be also from pew to pew this day, from heart to heart. And thou didst show also thy great mercy and thy great grace, because it was a great sin. Oh, who can fathom that sin that was committed against thee? Oh, what sin was like it in the whole world? And Lord, thou knowest that that sin that lives also within our own hearts, oh, thou art able to overcome it, and thou art willing to forgive it. Oh, that thou may bring us to true repentance and a true bowing before thy footstool, and that thou wouldest remember us and all our loved ones. Care for us in all the needs and all the wants, and all the difficulties, the trials, the afflictions that are in this life. Thou knowest the families, the relations in families. Remember husbands and wives, in that bond that thou hast joined them. And wilt thou care for it, Lord, and that thou may give love as thou alone art able to give, and to maintain it even unto the day of our death, and that thou may give love in the hearts of children also, for their father and for their mother, and obedience, and that first commandment with promise, all that our children may be given to obey father and mother, for that I that does disobey, even the ravens shall pluck it out, thou sayest. O Lord, remember those who have no children, that are not married, Those that are barren, remember widows in loneliness, in solitude. Wilt thou visit with thy spirit? And wilt thou give to feel something of thy presence and of thy nearness in the midst of all the loneliness and that can be experienced in this world, that thou may remember also our churches, our ministers, that thou may increase their number, that thou may go with all thy servants, that they may receive wisdom as strength in thy spirit to bring thy word also by renewal, and give more servants in thy vineyard. And may it be in the time that we look forward to when the curatorium will meet again. Lord, wilt thou be on our right and on our left and give us wisdom from on high, and that we may know and that we may receive a direction from thee, and that thou may look upon our churches for the future, which are all in thy hand. Wilt thou remember those that are in the prisons? Wilt thou give true repentance for iniquity, for transgression, and bring in the dust before thee in that place where thou didst give a Manasseh to bend his knees and to fold his hands and to cry out to the living God, because there we may read, he may know that thou art God. O Lord, that thou may remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Thou knowest all that they endure, even in the days wherein that we do live, wherein so many in this world do gather against them, even in the nations wherein we live. O Lord, then it comes out, it comes into the foreground, the truth of thy holy word, how that they shall gather around that beloved city. O Lord, that thou may look upon thy people, and that thou may remember them to bring them back again, and that thou may open their eyes, and that they may truly acknowledge who that thou art, and that thou art the Son of God, and that thou art the Christ, and that thou art the promised mediator, and that thou art the Savior that was sent into this world. And when they may acknowledge thee, that they may also be brought in, many also from amongst them. Remember us, O Lord, in this hour. Strengthen us for our labor. Give wisdom. Give clarity. Give understanding unto all. And may it be a blessing from above. Thy spirit in our hearts. True conversion and the forgiveness of all our iniquities. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 123 all the stanzas. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within all the stanzas of Psalter 123. Beloved congregation, last week we heard something about the promise of the Lord to his disciples that he would send forth the Holy Spirit into their midst. And today we may commemorate the fulfillment of this promise. And that fulfillment was accompanied with signs. We have heard, boys and girls, of the sign of the tongues in this morning hour. And then we have heard that the apostles were also given new tongues. That is, and that their tongues were loosed, that their tongues were opened, and that they were able to speak to other persons in an understanding way, in different languages, but also with understanding of that holy word of God. But now there was more that was promised unto the disciples. In John 16, we read, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Thus, what does it mean to reprove the world of sin? The word reprove is actually a term that is used once again in the court, what we call a forensic or a law term, and that means to open up. That means to expose. That means to convict a person in the court. That is, congregation, a work of the Holy Spirit. And that is to convict and to convince a man of sin. And we see that begin in a special way on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 persons were reproved, and when they were convicted, and when they were convinced of their sin, when 3,000 persons were brought into their own guilt. Were you ever brought into your own guilt? Because that is necessary, and a minister cannot do that. No matter how earnestly that he is warning, no matter how elegantly that he may be speaking, and the apostles could not do that either, but the Holy Spirit can do that. And the Holy Spirit also does do that. He continues to do that. Also in our day, that work of the Holy Spirit is very powerful. The work of the Holy Spirit is very effectual. We see that here, that it moves the heart. Was your heart ever moved? Because we can move our emotions, maybe even with the preaching a little bit, just temporarily. A man can speak so that he can make men to weep, we would say, but yet that heart is not changed. The will is not changed. There is no new heart, and there is no truly new love, and there is truly no new choice. But here we read that they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That came out of their heart. Did you ever say that? What shall I do? Did you ever know not where to go? Did you ever know not what to do because of your guilt? that you carry with you every day. Because of your state wherein you have been born, because you are lying under the wrath of God, do you ever say, I do not know what to do? Do you not know what to do with the corruption that is in your whole being? That you say, I cannot change it. That you say, what shall I do? Then you are seeking direction. And that is what they were doing here too. They were asking. They were asking the apostles, now what shall we do? And what did the apostles answer them? That is found in the words of our text. That is in the 40th verse of Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So far the words of our text. Peter's exhortation to save yourself from this untoward generation. First, who this untoward generation is. And second, what it means to save yourself from this untoward generation. Peter's earnest exhortation to save yourself from this untoward generation, who this untoward generation is, and what it means to save yourself from it. An untoward generation. Who is that? The apostle Peter speaks about here, the Jews. Speaks about the Pharisees and the scribes in a special way, and the chief priests, and he says that they have crucified and slain Jesus of Nazareth. But he does not only speak about the rulers. No, he says, whom ye have crucified and slain. So there is a multitude before him. And then he is not just pointing at persons that are not in that multitude, no, but he is pointing at them. He says, whom ye have crucified and slain. And why is it that they have crucified and slain him? That is because they have followed those chief priests and scribes and rulers. They were in agreement with them. They cried out, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be on us and upon our children. They did not resist. They did not say to Pilate that you may not crucify him, that he is a good man, that he is the Son of God. No, they went along with the chief priests. You say, well, they were just influenced by them. So they are not the guilty ones. It is the scribes and the Pharisees that are the guilty ones. Well, that is true. They are very guilty. And we are also very guilty when we lead persons in the wrong way. As a minister, if we would do that, as a teacher, as a father, as a mother, also young people, you, and there are other young people or children that are following you, and you know that. You say, let us do this or that. And you are especially guilty because you make other persons to sin. And now what about those other persons? You say they have no guilt. No, they have their own guilt. They have their own guilt because we don't have to follow, do we, young people? Do we have to follow? You have your own mind, right? That is given to you by the Lord. And if you know that it is wrong and your friend says, well, I want to, well, let's do it anyway. Then you can say, no, I have to appear before God. I have to give an answer for what I do. Do you just allow anyone in this whole world, just anyone, and especially foolish people, you just allow them to influence you? In evil, that is what these Jews did.
then they have followed, and then they also have their own guilt. And then it is also our heart sins, for what we believe, what we think in our heart, even if we don't say it with our mouth, that we are responsible, we are accountable for the things that we actually believe inside of us. We were not made believing evil and false and things. No, we were made believing truth. And we ourselves have departed from that way of truth. Peter calls these Jews an untoward generation. So what is that? Untoward. The word means crooked. Crooked. The word means perverse. To have perverted something. That is to take it from the way that it was made and to use it for something else. You corrupt it so that it has the wrong person, a purpose. It is now perverted. You say, how can that be? Is this not God's people, the Jews? Indeed, Peter said to them, he said, the promise is unto you and to your children. Now, at the same time, he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Deliver yourself from them. So how can that be? That sounds like it completely contradicts, is completely contradictory. Israel had become untoward. Israel had become crooked. Israel had become perverse. They had greatly degenerated themselves with all those privileges that they had been given from the Lord. And that they had, it began there with Abraham in that covenant that the Lord made. And they have completely turned that covenant into something that was not the way that the Lord had given it unto Abraham. And they still boasted about being Abraham's children, their heritage. We are the children of Abraham. And the Lord said, well, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, we are the children of God. They said, well, if you were God's children, you would love me because I am the son of God. No, he says, you are the children of the devil. You are the children of the devil. Thus he accused them of perverting the truth that he had given to them. He accused them of leading the people astray, that is, in a moral way, that he led them in the wrong direction, that he misled them, and that he made everything that he had given unto them to be crooked. When he had made it straight, the congregation, the people that he was speaking to, was not what we call, or what is called in the Word of God, the world. The world. Was he speaking here unto the world? No, he was not speaking to the world. He was speaking unto Jews, and he was speaking unto the proselytes. Those that join themselves unto that Jewish nation. And yet, he says, then it is possible that you may be no less the children of the devil, being a Jew, than as if you were, let me say, a child of the world. Do we distinguish ourselves from the world today? We say that is the world. They are out there. And the world is evil. But I am not of the world. No, I'm religious. I'm a member of the NRC. Do you believe that it is possible to be no less child of the devil, when we are a religious person, when we are a member of the NRC, than the world. This untoward generation. For 3 years, the Lord Jesus has condemned that Jewish people because of their religion. The degeneration of that religion, the moral degeneration, the degradation, because that is not the way that it was given unto them. What did the Lord Jesus say to them? How are they an untoward generation? Well, the Lord Jesus says, you have done away with the law of God, and you have made a new law for yourselves. And you say to this people that your law is God's law. And you lay on this people burdens that are grievous to be borne, that God has never laid upon them, laying aside the commandment of God, he says, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Thus that is in the first place. You have made a new law unto yourselves. He accused them of paying tithes, of mint and an eyes in common, of paying tithes with great, great scrutiny. Very, very religiously, we would say, that they are paying their tithes. And he says, omitting the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You omit that. He says, you strain at a gnat. There's a gnat. You can hardly see that, right, children? You strain at a gnat, and you swallow a camel. He says, you are very, very scrupulous about those traditions that you have introduced within the church. And morality, that means nothing to you. You are covetous. You devour widows' houses. You have no pity. You have no mercy on the poor. You are able to bear false witness without a pang of your conscience, it seems. That is now the religion that you have made for yourselves. And at the same time, the Lord Jesus accused them of walking about as if they were very, very pious people. For pretense, he says, making long prayers. So just so that everyone else can see, just that it will be a show within the church. He says, you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, while within you are full of extortion and excess. He says, you are like a whited sepulcher. You see that, children. If you go to the graveyard, and then years ago they used to paint those grave stones, make them white again and nice looking again. A whited sepulchre, he says, that looks beautiful on the outside. And he said, within that sepulchre, if you would dig down in the ground, what are you going to find? Well, you're going to find in there dead men's bones. So he says, appearing righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. false piety. They had also corrupted the ordinances of the Lord, the very ordinances that the Lord had given to them, all of those ceremonial laws that were pointing to something. And now what was more important, children? Was it the ceremony? Was that more important? Or was it what it pointed to? Oh, you say it is what it pointed to. That is the substance. And what did the Pharisees and scribes do with that? Well, they took it and they made the ceremony into the most important part, as if this was the substance of everything. And then they have taken that blessed covenant of grace. That was the covenant that he had sworn. That was not a different covenant. No, that was the covenant of grace which he had given unto Abraham, that Abraham has been the father of and the patriarch of, and that has come down to his families, it has come down to that nation. And they have made that blessed, that beautiful covenant of grace into a covenant of works. Do this and thou shalt live. All the ceremony. It is, congregation, great wickedness. It is those rulers who have not protected the doctrine. And they have allowed it because of the sinfulness of their own hearts. They have allowed that doctrine to become corrupt. And now all this wickedness that is among this people of the Jews and all the religion is no better than the world, which they profess to condemn because they are living the lie and because they are teaching that lie unto men. And Christ has condemned them, has pointed it all out. And that is why they hated him, because they exposed all their hypocrisies and they rejected all his warnings. They rejected the law of God. The Lord Jesus showed to them what was actually living in their heart. But there was no place in their heart to receive it. There was no guilt. No, it did not come past, we would say, their ears. It did not come past their mind. And thus they also rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They had no need for him. He said, go and learn what that meaneth, because I will have mercy and not sacrifice, because I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners? No, congregation, that is what they were not. That is what they were not. Do not call me that, because that I will not receive. Sinner, I have my law, and I can live up to that law. Therefore, anyone would come in with his guilt, in his misery. What would the Pharisees and scribes say to that man? You ever read that in the Bible? Where anyone came to the scribes and the Pharisees, and that they had a solution for him, when they came in their guilt, when they came in all their misery? I think you know it, right, children? Judas came that way, didn't he? Judas. Remember when he came? And then he came with all his guilt. He says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. I am guilty. And then what did they say? What is that to us? See thou to that. Oh, congregation, what happened? what happened with that Jewish religion, what now happened with that covenant. They did not know it. They didn't know it for themselves. They did not teach it unto the people. No, they accused the Lord Jesus of eating with publicans and sinners. He calls Matthew out of the receipt of custom and from his evil. Oh no, this is rejected by him. Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. He was a son of a Pharisee. He would have said the same, right? And then the Lord converted him. And then after he converted him, then he did not point at Matthew, that publican. No, he says, I am the chief of the sinners. Did you ever become that? This untoward generation, it is a crooked generation. It is a perverse generation. It is a wicked generation. And it has lost all the resemblance. That whole religion has lost all its resemblance to what God has given unto them in that covenant with Abraham. Because they're now shutting up the kingdom of heaven against themselves. They're not going in themselves. And anyone who would enter, they are hindering him. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, but God hath raised him up. Does your heart condemn you? Does the Spirit of the Lord prick you in your heart? Oh, that you have to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Does Peter have an answer for you? Oh, he has an answer for you. We're going to sing first Psalter 138, 1 through 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth, since ye for wisdom do not care? For ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. 1 through 4 of 138.
Thank you.
with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It is just 10 days ago. And that the disciples have asked the Lord Jesus, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But there is none of that left. No more desire after what is carnal. No more desire after that which is of this world, the kingdom of this world. And all the prejudices then that were in their heart, they have been taken away. And then the Lord gives to them understanding. He gives them understanding of his truth, of the word of God, and all that was prophesied. And now they say, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Why? Because, he says, soon it is going to be destroyed. We have entered, he says, into the last days, and it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. No, not just the Jewish people, but also the Gentiles, the whole world. Whosoever. So he says there is a great change that is coming in these last days that are now upon us. And Jerusalem is going to go up in smoke. In smoke. So much so that the sun will be turned into darkness. And the moon in the evening will be a blood red, the same as that red which you have shed upon that Calvary, and the same as that red that is going to be flowing in the streets of Jerusalem in those days. Jerusalem that has become an untoward generation, and in the last days, the Lord is going to judge Jerusalem, and therefore save yourselves from this untoward generation. And all that took place 70 years later. You can read that in the history books. And you can read the accuracy, the awful destruction of Jerusalem and how many perished in that destruction. And why? Because they did not heed that warning of the Apostle Peter, save yourselves from this untoward generation. But there were some that did heed. There were those that heard that word of God, and they fled to Pella. And there they were spared by the Lord. But congregation, this has not only to do with them. No, that word of God that is coming today unto us. And that has very much to do with us, even unto the end of the world. Because that religion that Christ condemned in the Old Testament, that is alive and well today. Also in our days, in our churches, and in our hearts. It is a religion that lives in our hearts. And Christ sent his spirit on that day of Pentecost. Then 3,000 people were convicted, were reproved by the Lord for their sin. They were not the world. No, they were the Jews. They were proselytes. What were they convicted of? They were not convicted of following after the world. Maybe we don't do that either. I hope not. Do we follow after the world? Or do we live a right life? Thus here, this is who that he is speaking to. They are not men of the world. And now they are reproved. Oh, they are convinced. They are convicted. Of what? Of self-righteousness. They are convicted of a religious pride. They are convicted of hypocrisy in their religion. They are convicted of murdering. Murdering, rejecting the Son of God while they held and upheld themselves in the formality, in the strictness of their own religion. And in one moment, that Spirit of the Lord is able to come and to cut a man off. To cut a man off in his error, his religious error, and bring him to cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Did the Lord ever show you? Because we come up every Sunday, right? Everyone, we come up every Sunday. And how do we live during the week? That is good, right? Make a confession, a faith, a promise to live and to walk in a certain way. Did the Lord now ever come and convict you of what is inside when on the outside no one can see anything? You say on the outside it is all perfect. That no one has one word to say about me. That is good. That is right, the outside. But it is not enough. That is now what the Lord has condemned that Jewish people for. He said, your religion is a pretense. Is your religion a pretense? What is the warfare? Is it now with things only that are public, that everyone else can see? Or is the warfare with things that are private, that are just between the Lord and your soul? Does your conscience speak, especially with those things? Do you say before everyone, you know, those girls, they should dress modestly. Modestly. We say that, girls. That is right. That is according to the word of God. Boys too. But do we say this, congregation, publicly, and then secretly? We're searching for things that are in complete contradiction with what we are saying with our mouth. So that before men, we may appear righteous, but within, we are full of dead men's bones. Do we say a man should not steal? And then it comes tax time. And then we are able to do a few things so that we do not have to give those proper taxes to our government. do you come here in front of the whole church to that holy supper of the Lord publicly, and then secretly, where no man can see you. Oh, your heart is going out and your heart is following after all of the idols that are found in this world. Where is our warfare? Is our warfare with moral matters? Things that are right and wrong. 10 commandments the Lord gave us. 10 commandments. That isn't a burden, is it? David says, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That is a whole word, of course, but 10 commandments. Is that too much? Of course, there are things that follow from them. But what is now our struggle? With what are we so concerned? Is that with the customs? Customs are good, but they are not the law of God. Can we discern? What is now love to God? Love to God. And love to my neighbor. It isn't that difficult, is it? The Lord has given us a sum of those commandments. Or is that now our concern? Are we more concerned about transgressing the customs of men that we set for one another? We're going to behave in such a way. We are more concerned transgressing those customs than coveting. Thou shalt not covet. Secret? Maybe we don't think so much about that. But just how a person does this or that in the church or that, oh, that matters. But coveting? Or that I slander someone? His good name? Can I do that very easily? And at the same time, I am very, very concerned just how we are doing things before men in the midst of this world. Or that I have a heart that is hankering after everything that is here below. When the Lord says, love not the world, that is secret, of course. No one can see that. Congregation, the Spirit of the Lord does not teach such a religion. What did the Apostle Paul say after his conversion? After his conversion, he said, sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is a moral evil. Sin, that is a departure from what is right. That is righteousness. Does your heart ever condemn you for that? Because that is what the Spirit does. That is what the Spirit did on that day of Pentecost. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. All religion. Pretense, all religion of hypocrisy is very soon going to go up in smoke. In smoke. To darken the rays of the sun and to turn that moon blood red. All such religion is not going to fare any better than the world is going to fare. Worse, because the bottom of hell is reserved for such a religion. The Lord Jesus says it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, more tolerable for the world in the day of judgment than for you. Congregation, were you ever pricked in your heart by the Holy Spirit? Or did you ever cry out with that multitude, 3,000 persons? Oh, what does it take now to prick us in our heart? That is power. The power of the Spirit of the Lord to show us and to reprove us and to convince us of who and what we are, and to make us cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Or has an arrow ever pierced into your soul that you had to fall under that word of the Lord that is coming into your own heart? Or does the Lord now strip away all your religion? Did he ever do that? Strip away all our religion. Will not help us. Now, religion in itself, all there is a means, but we need more than religion, and more than outward religion. Did the Lord ever make your righteousnesses, your most holy duties, into filthy rags? That is what happened on the day of Pentecost. By the power, the almighty power of the Holy Spirit. And there was evidence that he was there. Oh, is there ever evidence? Is there ever evidence that the Lord is in our midst? When he is coming to convince, to reprove a man of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. What shall we do? They did not know what to do. They did not know where to go with their iniquity. You know that place? Of this 3,000 people who cannot help themselves, who are guilty and who are corrupt. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. What did Peter say? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. No, he did not say like the Pharisees said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." No, Peter has an answer. Peter has an answer. No, it is not Peter that has the answer. Peter is given an answer from heaven for those who are guilty, for those who are filthy, for those who are corrupt, for those who are crooked, for those who have turned everything upside down. Oh, then he has an answer for them. He says, repent. That means to turn away from that evil, from that way that you have been going, from that life that you have been living, from the thoughts that are living in your heart. Turn away from them. And so, in such a way, go unto the footstool
of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have crucified and slain, because it was not just your doing, but it was decreed from the Father, and he has given himself as a sacrifice. Thus repent from that wickedness, repent from that way, and in such a way go. Oh, go on your knees, go on your, in your secret chamber, oh, go to the footstool of him who invites you in such a way, with all your guilt, with all your sin, who invites you to come unto him. Oh, is he not of great compassion? Is he not ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him? Oh, Saul was a Pharisee. He was the son of a Pharisee. He was full of his own righteousness, self-righteousness, a self-righteous religion, and a false zeal, teaching others and publicly he is sinning against the Lord, and the Lord comes to him privately, alone as it were, and he has dealings with him, and he takes him off of that height of his own self-righteousness. And when he appears, oh Saul, oh remember that, children. Will you remember that? Saul, he had so much religion, right? So much religion. And when the Lord appeared, fell on the ground, because all his religion was not able to give to him what he needed to stand before God. It was an untoward generation. Then he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then Paul writes how that the Lord came. He writes how that the Lord revealed himself also in his own soul. And that was such a wonder, because he says, I am the chief. He was a Pharisee, we would say, of the Pharisees. He was a strict, outwardly, no one could say a thing. And he said, I, the chiefest of the sinners. And that became such a wonder, the grace of God to receive such a one as he. Oh, may the Lord work such a work by his Spirit also among us. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, we are depending upon thy blessing of thy word, because we cannot convince a single soul. We can say it with our mouth, it comes to our ears, and we cannot even make it come into the mind. Maybe they are all over the globe. But Lord, thou can bring it in our hearts also afterward, when we go home, that thou canst bring it in our memory, and thou can pierce our heart with thy word, and make us to become a sinner before God. And there is hope. Oh, remember us, each and every one. Bring us safely home. Help us in the week to come with all our labors. Strengthen us, therefore. Forgive and take away our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 365, all the stanzas.
From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.